Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Previously.tv Podcast Network.
Gee, Brandon, I figured be in the operating room there looking over the surgeon's shoulder. That way you could give him some
pointers. That's real funny. Why don't you take that show on the road?
Everybody, this is Again With This, Beverly Hills 90210, and never was this show Again With This than this week. Take 3 for season 4, episode 19, The Labors of Love.
Labors indeed.
Now here are your hosts, Tara Ariano and Sarah D. Bunting.
Hi, Sarah.
Hi, again.
Do you want to start?
Oh my God. Yeah, it really is Again With This. This is now our third attempt to record this episode. Something there is that does not love the labors of love.
Hey, Sarah.
Yeah.
You were spoily.
So let's get through everything real fast. Site business. You can buy shirts that are kind of about this podcast at Glarkware.com. You can buy an ad on this podcast, wish somebody happy birthday, or maybe just like, I hope you die, Janice. That's
fucking
fine too.
Janice Jeez. Knows what she did.
Yeah. Go to previously.tv/ads to set that up. And anything else?
No.
Then let's get on the show.
Thank you everyone for your patience as we worked out our issues. Touch wood with both hands. We are through them now and can proceed. Okay.
It sucks.
That is true. To give you an idea of how long ago I watched this episode, my first thing in my notes is that because I had been watching OJ Made in America at the same time, that it's impossible to watch the 1994 B-roll of West Los Angeles without it's looking weirdly sinister. And by the way, plug for OJ Made in America and for Sarah D. Bunting's coverage of same on previously.tv. Both are superlative.
Oh, thank you.
Well, it's true. Moving on. Sue RC story, David versus Blondes. I know it's been a long time since we talked about this, but David is having a drug problem, which is why at the beach apartment, he is sleeping through his very loud clock radio alarm. Donna comes in this outfit, which is hideous. It's like a white bodysuit under a navy bolero with like, when we tried this the last time, I said rickrack trimmed bell sleeves, but Sarah pointed out they have like pom poms on them, so they're even worse.
It's like Rick Poms. I don't even know.
Go to the visual aids to see this matta don't. And anyway, she and her bad outfit and Kelly come in to tell David he's missing his shift at the Peach Pit, which, as you may have recalled, is because, may not recall rather, Nat is in the hospital about to have heart surgery, so that's why the kids are pitching in at the Peach Pit. Presumably unpaid. But anyway, Kelly goes to grab some clothes to help David get dressed, and a sachet of meth falls out of his shirt, as if he would have any that he hadn't already juiced, and a poorly written fight ensues in clip number 2.
What is it? I don't know, cocaine? David, you're still doing drugs?
Look, it's not mine, all right? I was just holding it for somebody else. And for your information, no, it's not coke.
I don't care what it is. Now you're a drug addict and a liar.
Yeah, well, you know what? You had no business going through my drawers in the first place. Why don't you guys just get out of here?
Oh, right. Look who has all the principles all of a sudden. David, I'm sorry. Donna, what are you apologizing to him for?
Word. Shut up,
good
Kelly.
Point.
No, I'm not going to. You know what? I've been through this too many times. If this is how you're going to live your life, then I'm moving out. We are moving out. Kelly.
Fine. Move out. I'm sick of living here with you two high priestesses of sobriety anyway.
Oh, God, here we go again. No, just start packing. But Kelly, Donna, we are getting out of here.
Something that didn't occur to me the first two times we listened to this clip. Why is he so appalled that Kelly would think it's cocaine? Like, does he think that in the drug hierarchy, cocaine is worse or more basic or what than meth? I don't get that reaction. For your information, no, it's not cocaine. Okay.
I think he just wants to be more of a know-it-all than she's being.
Ah.
Maybe. Okay. I don't know. And Give me a break, David. Like anyone, like you know anyone else outside of the gang. You're a bitch. No one likes you. Worst. Also, why doesn't he have to move out? I mean, yeah. I know why. It's so we can set up his, like, rent scam later, but, ugh. Like, just threaten to call the cops. Make him leave.
Yeah. I mean, for story purposes, I assume, in addition to the money thing, it's also because it would not be credible for him to seek to stay at anyone else's house because no one likes him enough.
And because, bitch, yeah.
Because he's a bitch. So Kelly calls Dylan from a payphone, ask your grandparents, to tell him that she's going to be staying with him for a while. Not ask, tell. Donna says she's
on his answering machine, by the way.
Of course, yes.
Tells his answering machine. Classy.
Donna will be staying at the Alpha Omega house, and she doesn't get how, as she puts it, deserting David is going to help him. So Kelly has to 12-step her about tough love and enabling, and when she lays out the case against David, it's like she's been listening to us in clip number 3.
We're leaving David by himself, and it could get worse. Donna, we have been there to catch David all semester long. We've been waking him up, reminding him to study, picking up his clothes, buying his food. I'm sick of it.
Yeah, me too. Word, Kelly.
Why have you been doing all that stuff? What are you, nuts?
Yeah, he's in college. Like, he should be capable of doing these things himself. And if he can't, that's on him. That's not your problem.
Doesn't seem to have any problem finding juice. So leave it
yeah.
out.
Yeah. Does he even have a car? Like, none of this has been established. Anyway, why do I care? He really is a piece of shit, is the point. And Donna has one more question in clip number 4.
What about the rent? It's due in a couple days. That's David's responsibility now. It's not fair. Yeah, I'm bringing drugs into the house is fair.
Kelly will turn out to be extremely right about this. Also, spoiler alert. Shut up, Donna. You don't know anything about anything. Moving on. Kelly is moving in with Dylan so permanently that there are boxes of stuff, and he tells her that she can stay as long as she likes. And after a dumb story about her childhood, Donna interrupts their macking because the sorority house was full. Dylan says that she can stay there too. Donna shrugs that she can just go back to the apartment, but Kelly gravely informs her that she must not. And while that might seem bossy, Donna makes it clear immediately why Kelly actually should be making all her decisions for her in clip number 5.
Maybe David was telling the truth. Maybe he was just holding the stuff for his friend.
Oh, come on, Don. You don't really believe that, do you?
I don't know. What's wrong with him?
It sounds to me like he's got a drug problem.
How can you say that? He just started doing this. Don, he did not just start doing this. He's been doing it for over a month. You and I both know that he doesn't have any plans to stop. But I love him.
Of course you love him. We all love him, Don. But reality is reality. David's a drug addict.
Oh, sad clarinet is sad that Dylan is lying, that we all love David. No one loves David. He is a biatch.
Yeah, he's the worst. But seriously, like, maybe he really was holding it for a friend. Donna, that's the laziest, oldest excuse in the book. No one believes that. Babies don't believe that. Like, get the picture. My God.
Especially not from David, who cannot have any friends because he sucks. And it's not because of the drugs. It's because of him.
Yeah. Well, speaking of David and sucking and drugs, he shows up early for his shift at the radio station just to hang out, meaning sponge drugs. Howard is over him and can tell that David is high right then. So he fires him. David calls him a hypocrite, which he kind of is. But Howard's point, I guess, is that he, unlike David, is just a social meth smoker. The plotting on this is not the best. But regardless, David is out at the radio station. And then he hits up a guy, his dealer, who's counting out powdered product on a scale in his dorm room as though. Even more hilariously, David wants to know if he can write a check for drugs. Gets this response in clip number 6.
You know, it's like the sign of my old man's store says, I trust in God. Everyone else pays cash.
Sarah. Okay. Sorry to be that guy, but you're saying the plotting is not the best, which it is not. But when you ruin a perfectly basic joke like this, like, the whole point is that U.S. currency says in God we trust on it. So everybody else pays cash. That's the joke. It's a bad joke. It's a dad joke, literally. But that's the joke. Yeah. Don't mangle that and then expect us to go along with this ridiculous contrivance with the rent.
Yeah, I wonder if this was bad writing or if the actor just ad-libbed it because he's dumb and they were like, ugh, fucking close enough.
Yeah, as I was saying that, I was like, what is the likelihood that this guy had like a billion takes? This was the only one that was half decent. And they're like, you know what?
Yeah,
we have lives. Print it.
Like he kept saying dog instead of God.
The end of this scene is also David asks for a credit line for his drugs. He does not get that either. So then he shows up at the Peach Pit to ask Kelly and Donna for their rent. Kelly stands firm, but he can obviously tell that Donna is wavering to the point where Kelly has to speak for her. And when he leaves, Kelly puts him on blast in clip number 7.
Hey, what's up with him?
He's doing drugs.
No way.
Mm-hmm. Kel, do you have to tell everyone?
Yes, I do. I've told Mel, I've called Jackie. Don, I'm not covering for him anymore.
Yeah,
Kelly,
word.
Kelly.
Yeah, she's kind of a rag a lot of the time, but she's extremely right in this whole storyline. So good for Kelly. Not so good for Donna, because David is stalking through the parking lot when Donna, the simp, comes running after him to give him the rent money in secret, enough to cover both her share and Kelly's. And she asks if she should make the check out to Mr. Pitts, but he tells her to make it out to him so that he can give Mr. Pitts one big check. And like an idiot, she does, as if this is how the rent would have been paid any other month since they moved into this apartment. But, you know, she's dumb. She asks David to promise that he'll see his therapist again, and he lies to her face that she will. And somehow she believes it, even though he has his drug hat on, so whatever. Later, Kelly runs into David in the hall of the dorm, and they have this exchange in clip number 8.
Searching for a new place to live?
Isn't everybody?
No, not me. I have a place right on the beach, remember? Got a great view.
Of the inside of a toilet.
What?
Good one?
I don't get it. Unless we're supposed
to... The house was built inside the world's biggest toilet. Are you guys stupid?
I don't recall that having been established, but that's an interesting retcon,
Dave. Toilet. Remember that was the original theme?
Yeah.
We'll live in a toilet.
No. Unless
meta commentary on Los Angeles, I guess. I don't know.
It could be, as you said one of the other times we tried this, that she's saying he's a piece of shit, in which case I support her because he is. But anyway,
I mean, like,
yes,
902 1. Oh, I mean, it's got all the things about
and one, yeah. And the O's are sort of oval, like the seat.
This is Tommy Westerfall all over again. Now we just have to, so we got Melrose Place connected to this. And yep. I think Melrose Place begat like Nightingales or Models Inc. Or something like that. Yep. Yeah. So, you know, we're starting to see the whole toilet universe come into focus here. I'll do some research while you guys continue this episode.
Okay.
Beep, 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 boop, beep, boop.
Second, Kelly's not going to ask how David is affording to stay there alone. Okay. I mean, I know she can't because... that would expose his scam sooner, but whatever. Ugh. Anyway, David takes all Donna's money and gets more drugs and then goes back like later the same night, just in time to catch the dealer about to shoot meth in between his toes. Will David join them? Cliffhangers. Anyway, snore. Before we move on to our next storyline, however, we have a message for Allie Rose.
Oh, God, I'm sorry. I'm just imagining a bee flying around that room. Allie Rose, just like Dylan and Lord Byron before him, you are mad, bad, and dangerous to know.
We feel so lucky to have a friend in our lives who can quote Andrea's graduation speech verbatim.
Also, thank you for never sleeping with any of our boyfriends while we were away in Paris. It means a lot.
Have an extra hot, great 35th year.
Love the Bettys.
Happy birthday, Allie.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Allie.
Thank you for your patience and waiting for this message. Moving on to our B story. And I'm so sorry, Allie, that your birthday wish had to be the segue to this, but it's how it goes. Jesse versus Choice. So Andrea is silent as Kelly drives her to what is clearly going to be an abortion clinic. And they have this exchange in clip number 9.
You sure about all this? You haven't even told your parents.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, I'm not the first person in the world this has ever happened to, you know.
Is now the time when you're in the car?
Yeah. Like, a little late. And also, you haven't even told your parents?
Yeah.
Or your vanished sister, who is more likely for her to tell, but she no longer exists. Mm-hmm. She's been disappeared. Yeah. Shut up, Kelly.
Just a blanket reminder to, we mentioned this in the last podcast, but Tara Rose has a great blog that's all about abortion episodes of television. And we'll link this her post on this episode and the last one in the show notes of this one again. But it really lays out in a lot of detail, angry detail, the very best kind, why this whole storyline is bullshit. We will touch on a lot of it as well, but you should definitely check out her blog post.
Agreed.
At the clinic, Andrea and her somehow even worse than ever hair looks like a haystack. You can see the visual aids. Look around the waiting room at the morose women and couples and feel sorry for herself in clip number 10.
How did I wind up here? Was I the one who was supposed to do things by the book? The pragmatist, the person least likely to mess up?
You're human, Andrea, just like everybody else. So get through this. I'm with you all the way.
I mean, she's right that Andrea, for all her ambition, would be the character on the show least likely to do what she's about to do, which is decide to carry the baby to term. And it's really a shame that the real life circumstances made that have to happen, because it's just not true to her character that she would put all of her goals on hold in order to do this at like the very worst time in her life.
Ugh. Yeah, nor would it be like Andrea's thing to be this self-flagellating about it. Like, yeah, maybe introspective, and I guess whatever blah blah retro engineered hormones into her decision making process, whatever, but I just, like, not that she'd be blithe about it, that's not necessary either, but I just don't think there would be quite this much tragedy masking around about it, because mm-hmm. she is a pragmatist. I mean, except for being in love with Brandon and Jesse, who is gay and looks like Dumbo. But other than that, yeah, total pragmatist.
And losing his hair. Somehow the gynecologist knows how to pronounce Andrea's stupid name as if, and Kelly offers to go in with her. And in the office, the doctor tells Andrea she can consider a variety of options for the pregnancy, which Andrea says she has done. And then things get processy in clip 11.
By state law, you will need to sign this consent form, confirming that you are aware of all your alternatives.
I know my alternatives. Adoption, marriage, single parenthood, I'm not interested. I know what I want, and I would like to have an abortion, and I'd like to have it today.
That's not possible.
Why? I mean, I know the laws. There's no waiting period here in California. I don't need parental consent. I don't see what the problem is.
The problem is, and I wish that this weren't so, but you are not the only woman in this city with an unwanted pregnancy.
I'm sorry.
I understand the stress you're going through. Does the father know?
He knows I'm pregnant.
In response to that line from Andrea, Kelly has the most exquisitely judgy face, which you can see in the visual aids because I gift it. So a couple of things about this. I don't know why Andrea takes the tone with the news that she can't get an abortion today. Like, she's been forced to wait on her restaurant reservation. Like, this is not really.
Yeah, that's a really weird. Are you having it catered? I'd like 4 dozen egg rolls and I'd like them today. Okay.
Yeah. Also, what does the doctor need to know whether she's told the father? Like, that's not part of any of this. And third,
also, why are you even there? Like, it's not like you didn't have landline telephones. Like, if you weren't already scheduled to terminate the pregnancy, why are you there?
Yeah.
Whatever.
Also, why does she list marriage as a solution to the issue of an unplanned pregnancy? Like, yes, that's one of the things you can do after you get pregnant, but it doesn't actually solve the problem of what to do with the baby. Like, adoption or abortion are sort of your choices. If you're not gonna, anyway, whatever. So Jesse's on his way out to class when Andrea comes over to talk to him, and for once, when he makes it clear that he's about to leave, she doesn't nothing him in response, and he idiotically asks her what's wrong, like, fucking duh, and she reminds him that she's pregnant, and they have this exchange in clip 12.
Hey. Don't worry, we've got 9 months to figure everything out.
No, we don't. I decided to have the abortion.
Wait. You decided this without telling me?
No. It's my decision to make.
Well, it's my decision, too. That baby is a part of you and me. We talked about this all last week.
No, you talked about it.
No, we decided. I'm going to take the clerkship in San Francisco this summer. You'll come with me. We'll get married. We'll have the baby, then move back here and finish school.
You've worked it all out, haven't you?
Well, you agreed.
Well, I'm sorry. I've changed my mind. Jesse, I'm not even 20 years old. I can't do this. You can't do this. It would ruin our lives. It was just a mistake, okay? It was a terrible mistake.
It's not a mistake. It's a baby.
Ugh.
And we may not have planned it, but it's not a mistake.
I'm sorry. I don't feel that way.
Andrea, if you go through with this abortion, don't come back here.
I was afraid you'd say that, and if that's what you want, I understand.
It can be two things, a baby and a mistake, just saying. We've all met some.
And
wow. Well, I'm not present naming
company
names.
Excluded. anyway, if you don't go through with it, don't go back there. He sucks.
Yeah, like that's not an ultimatum that's okay to make. And well, whatever. We'll get to his ultimate reaction, but gross. Later, Andrea has to run out of her class at Lucinda Nicholson's to barf. And in the bathroom, you can see in the visual aids, she is gigantically pregnant. Like, maybe the reason she can't have an abortion today is because she's 8 months along. Like, it's really not great.
Yeah, just knock on the side of her belly and ask it to come out. It can leave under its own steam and take a taxi to a rated R movie. It's big, is what we're trying to say.
So later, Andrea is eating Chinese food with Kelly while complaining about morning sickness. Kelly asks if she's heard from Jesse. She has not. Kelly theorizes that he needs a little time, but Andrea disagrees in clip 13.
No, I think he meant what he said. If I have this abortion, we're through. Are you okay with that? I guess I have to be, right? Kelly, I'm so confused. I feel so guilty. I mean, I want to have a family someday, but not now. I mean, I'm just a freshman in college. I can't have a baby. You have to do what's right for you. Everything else will be okay. I hope so. I better get going. We have a big day ahead of us tomorrow.
Okay, surely there's another way to say that. It's not like you're going back to Magic Mountain. I mean,
I was going to say, it's not field day. Get
also,
some sleep for the three-legged race. No.
Like, are you okay with that? Like, yes, because he's clearly not a good person if that's his reaction to the choice that I'm making with regard to my future. Like, I don't get what Kelly is getting at, except I do, and it's gross. Speaking of gross, after Kelly leaves.
No!
This is one of the worst things ever. Andrea sits on the edge of her futon, cradling her gigantic belly, and says all of this shit, clip 14.
What's going on down there, huh? Okay, you've made your point. If you're trying to tell me something, it's not gonna work. You heard what I told Kelly. I'm just not ready to be a mom yet, okay? It's not that you're unwanted, it's just, I don't know what I'm doing. Babe, why am I even talking to you? It's not even like you're a baby. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry to do this to you.
To raise a human infant as a dolphin? Is that what you're sorry for?
I mean... The politics of this are such a, we could start unraveling them, but we would really never stop. And then fucking Jesse shows up. He can tell that she's been crying and asks if she's all right. And Andrea says she's fine and invites him in. He apologizes and said he should have been there for her and asks her to forgive him and says this, clip 15.
I may never agree with what you did, but I can't lose you too. I'm sorry.
Look, you don't have to apologize. Besides, I haven't done anything yet.
You haven't?
No. And I'm not sure I'm going to. I think that I think I want this baby.
Oh, Jesus.
Yes, 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 yes.
Oh, I'm going to keep the baby, but I still want to break up with you, you fucking garbage. Like, why does he get forgiven for everything he said to her? He's the worst. And all of this is
never
the worst.
Never mind him being forgiven. That doesn't even occur to her. She right. is, like, relieved that he forgave her.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Ugh. Also, just a side peeve. Don't say agree with something when you mean I may never condone what you did. Like, it's not a matter of reaching consensus. Like, that's not how that word works.
It's not it like pizza that. Toppings, counselor. Mm-hmm. You should know. Words have meanings.
Yes. You mean approve of anyway. Also, the mm-hmm. idea that he thinks she just had an abortion, like now she would be sitting around her dorm room in a dress and a fucking blazer and a choker. Like, no, she'd probably be in her pajamas and not doing great. But anyway.
Yeah. Also, she would not have, you know, a gigantic womb. I don't...
Yeah, with an entire softball team in it. Anyway, everyone is digging.
I think I want to keep this baby, like, good, because it's showing up in, like, 10 minutes.
Good, because it needs to register to vote. Anyway. We're saying the baby's big and old. Anyway, everyone is dicking around at the Peach Pit when Andrea and Jesse come in to announce that they're getting married and also that they're going to have a baby. And Kelly hugs her, and Brandon tells her he knew it would all work out. Andrea makes her worst face, the desperate grin. You can see it in the visual aids. And then Kelly darts forward to get nosy and also show everyone else that she had the inside track in clip 16.
What made you change your mind?
She did.
He did.
Whatever.
Oh, good. Jesse's yeah. the worst in another way. Great.
Oh, Jesus.
Let's leave this behind for more horror.
Yes, let's. Except that we're moving on to a Bray fiesta, the likes of which, etc.
Our A story, Brandon versus Dylan plus Lucinda. In the hospital, Dylan, Brandon, and Joey are loitering around. Dylan says he hates hospitals. The stupidest thing a person can say, and certainly the uber stupidest thing a person can make a character say. Everyone hates hospitals for extremely obvious reasons. Anyway, Joey exposits that Nat's surgery will take 6 hours, so they might as well leave. Dylan should leave to go change out of his light denim on denim look, which you can see in the visual aids. There's a test exchange, which you heard up top, and then Nat comes out all shaved, gross, and en route to surgery, and then a lot of very unacceptable things are said in a very short period of time. Clip 17.
Shaved my chest, made it as smooth as a baby's bottom, and it gave me something to make me woozy.
That's good. I mean, you should relax.
Oh, you be quiet. I'm talking to my boys. Listen, guys, thanks for everything. You're the best customers I ever had. You're the best pals I ever had.
And look, I brought you some free food. I've been hiding it under my bed. Couldn't say hi without giving you some free food. Enjoy.
You're going to be fine, bro.
Mm-hmm. Just say a prayer.
We will.
Okay.
Don't call your elder bro. just saying.
Yeah. Also, get any friends... Nat, and have them be your own age.
Yeah.
And of course they're your pals. They never have to pay for anything at your restaurant where they practically live.
Also, has Brandon ever paid back that money that you paid to his bookie on his behalf? Just wondering, because it's never come up again. Anyway.
Yeah, I don't. I guess he's also working at the Barn Jacket store where he gets a deep discount because, as you will see in the visual aids, he is now wearing the third iteration of that same, like, corduroy collar jobby everyone had in the mid 90s. Nope.
Yeah, no. Moving on. Remember Lucinda Nicholson? She's teaching a class, and Brenda is in it, as we hear in clip 18.
I'd get started, but according to my roster here, still waiting for a few more students.
Yeah, a couple of my friends are coming. You made quite an impression on us at Take Back the Night Week.
I'm good. I'm glad. And what's your name?
Brenda. Brenda Walsh. I think you know my brother Brandon. He was in your husband's sociology class.
My ex-husband.
I didn't realize.
Recent development.
Apparently none of the Walshes can pronounce that word correctly.
Yeah, my notes say, is it genetic? Apparently so.
Also, Lucinda is in another pair of daytime pajama pants, which I support 100%, having just bought a pair from Old Navy yesterday. Thank you very much. The class, by the way, is Feminist Perspectives in Cultural Anthropology, and Andrea is in the class too, but not today. We know why. At the hospital, Brandon paces and huffs, and Brenda actually does something thoughtful for once by bringing him some food, although it's from the cafeteria at the hospital, so C minus for this gesture. Somehow it's never come up before with Brandon that Brenda is in Lucinda's class, or he's too self-involved to have paid attention, but she tells him about it, and the Lucinda-Corey split. Brenda, by the way, has a woman crush on Lucinda, like, whoa. Later, in the hospital, still waiting for Nat to come out of surgery, Brandon dreams that he is the one who has ended up in a coma or something. And his nurse comes in to kick his family out, and it's a very sexy Lucinda in an extremely basic fantasy sexy nurse costume, which you can see in the visual aids. She wakes him up for his massage, and then we're just straight up watching a sex dream, which Brandon gets awakened from by Joey. Worst case scenario in terms of a human cold shower, as I think I called him.
Yes, you did.
Nat is out of surgery without complications. Hooray! So the next morning, the Walsh kitchen is ground zero for sexism in clip 19.
You're on your own tonight, honey. My first paper's due tomorrow, and I don't have time to cook dinner.
I'll cook.
I was afraid you'd say that. There's a lasagna in the freezer.
Just talked to the hospital. Nat's already sitting up in bed and pinching the nurses.
Great.
Anyway, Jim pleasantly comments that this is the first time they've seen Brandon at breakfast since Nat went into the hospital, but the pleasantries do not last in clip 20.
Suzanne opened up today so I could sleep in and make it to my task force meeting this morning.
I don't believe it. You mean you're actually going to school today? This is a red letter day.
Well, just so you know, Dad, I will be going back to the pit this afternoon.
I'm sure you will. Not going to function without you.
You know, burn. I really don't appreciate that. I made a commitment here, Dad, and I'm going to stick this out until Nat gets back on his feet.
Brandon, what if that never happens? Have you considered that?
Of course I have. We'll cross that bridge when we come to it.
No, that means you haven't considered it. That means you're putting off the decision until you have to make it.
Yeah, that's what that expression means.
Mm-hmm.
Also, don't talk to people like that, but I mean, oh my God, Jim, such shade.
I know.
Chilly Jim shade. I love it.
Speaking of the Peach Pit, at the Peach Pits, Suzanne makes a joke about Joey and Dylan eating up the profits. Hello, at least Dylan should be paying. So that Joey can joke ruefully and expositorily about the Peach Pit's financial issues and how they involve Joey. Suzanne has the right attitude in clip 21.
Nothing a little money wouldn't fix.
That's the idea.
Yep.
Scamzoni. A plus. Up, all Lord. Of you.
Dylan makes a stink face at Joey's bearish remarks about the Peach Pit's prospects, and there's talk of which kids are going to come in and work shifts. Like again, Nat didn't have staff before. They're all taking turns replacing Nat's labor. None of this makes sense. Whatever. Suzanne says correctly that this strategy is not sustainable. Joey says it's the peach pit is in critical condition and that after 2 years, he's never seen a dime back on his investment. I guess the 2 years reference is a retcon to explain why he never came up in the mall episode. The idea being that he bought into the business after that. Anyway, Dylan surmises that Joey wants to sell his stake. Later, on campus, Brandon runs into Dean Trimble, and they talk about Brandon's recent absences in Clip 22.
He can't fulfill the commitment.
Oh, no. I'll be at every meeting from now on. It was a tough week.
Oh, good. Because you got good ideas and some really good energy, man. And frankly, when you're not in the mix, we miss you.
LOL.
Shut up, Dean Trimble. You are drunk. Leave. Delete your account and kill yourself.
The idea that Brandon is the linchpin of this fucking task force. He's a freshman. He doesn't know anything about anything. All he knows is how to act like he knows everything about everything.
Yeah.
God. Anyway.
I mean, who else is in the mix?
Yeah.
Plants? Moving on.
Yeah, Lucinda rolls up at this point, and Brandon and she once again act like they have never met. Then Dylan comes to Jim's office to inform him that he wants to buy Joey's half of the peach pit for $75,000. Jim, thinks this is a bad idea. Dylan thinks that all the place needs is cash and good management, which he and Suzanne can respectively supply. Mm-hmm. Jim is dubious of the latter on the ground that she's a waitress, because I guess he's done worrying about everything else that's sketchy about her. Anyway, Jim says the place has never made a dime. Dylan says it's never lost one. Jim says it's a bad investment and that Dylan will lose his shirt. Dylan essentially says that he can afford to. Jim is still flummoxed, but now resigned in Clip 23.
What is it with you kids and this diner?
Like I said, excellent, we like the food. Question. This way Brandon doesn't have to save the world all by himself.
And maybe stop harping on what a money pit it is. Like, please, no one has ever, I've never seen currency changing hands in a peach pit scene. Like, maybe charge Steve for rent since he literally is living there anytime that he doesn't have a storyline at the Keg House. Like, yeah.
Also, you have seen money changing hands when Brenda was robbed and held at gunpoint.
Oh, yeah. And that must have been the, like, lifetime profits of the place that were in the cash register that were all taken, because we have heard nothing since except how it's, like, a huge money pit akin to a yacht or racehorse. Like, guys, stop.
Yeah. Anyway, Dylan, quote, jokes, unquote, about Jim taking care of it without Dylan's having to threaten to fire him again, which we all know is really not a joke at all, because that's a cudgel Dylan loves to use. Brandon comes to the hospital with flowers, which the nurse then takes away because they're not allowed. Like, what was the point of this business other than to show that Brandon was nice, yet not observant enough this whole time to have noticed there aren't flowers in the cardiac unit? I don't know why that was included other than for padding. Or maybe it was so that Joey could make this segue in Clip 24.
That doesn't need any flowers anyway. He's got great news instead.
What's up?
Hey, Dylan, you tell him, huh? Come on, you're the hero of the day, pal.
Not right now, Joey.
Come on, will you tell him the good news?
Somebody better tell me. I bought out Joey. So, Nat and I are partners in the pit.
Good news, huh? Never in a million years would I ever guess that a kid that grew up eating in my joint would wind up being my partner.
Yeah, that's great, guys. It's really great. Well, you know, I just went down this afternoon. I'd have told you sooner. Sure. No, listen. Hey, congratulations to both of you. I think that's great. Really.
Sincerely, what does Brandon have to be mad about this for? Like, the restaurant, all he wanted was for the restaurant to stay open, and it is. Like, it was not like he had the option of making this move himself. So shut up. Like, working a lot is not going to make the difference, dude. Also, you
no.
quit.
Yeah. Also, how, like, when you did cross that bridge finally, what was it going to look like?
Yeah.
You want a scratch-off ticket? It's ridiculous.
The next day, everyone thinks this move is exciting and cool in Clip 25.
Great place, great location.
Great customers, I might add.
Hey,
Don't think just because you know the boss, you're gonna get any special favors, all right?
All right, and if Kelly's craving a mega burger at 2:30 in the morning, you're not gonna come down here and cook it for her?
Well, Steve's may come as a shock to you, but when Kelly's with me, she doesn't crave anything.
No one wants to hear about Dylan and Kelly's sex life, just for the record.
Or even if it involves food, like, ugh. I just fried up some mushrooms and, okay, I'm going to stop you right there.
Later at home, Brenda and Brandon discuss Dylan's big purchase. Brenda thinks it's weird, but Brandon correctly notes that if Dylan hadn't done it, the Peach Pit would probably be closing. My point. She asks if he doesn't feel left out, and he denies it for about 2 seconds before saying this in clip 26.
You know what I feel like? I feel like I'm in a big game, and I'm running for the end zone, and the crowd is cheering, and all of a sudden, this guy comes out of nowhere, grabs the ball, and scores the touchdown.
You guys are all on the same team. We all are.
Again, seriously, like what were you expecting was going to happen? Your labor does not turn into cash. That's not how the world works, dude.
Yeah, like I think he really was expecting sweat equity, but that's his own mistake for not clarifying that.
Yeah.
Dylan is rich. You are not. Get a grip. Go work on the task force where they need you in the mix.
Because they miss you so much. Jim is heating up lasagna when Brandon crosses through the kitchen on the way to go see Nat at the hospital. Jim tries to make peace in clip 27.
You know, Brandon, I know it may not seem like it, but I'm very proud of everything you did for Nat.
Yeah, right.
No, you have a big heart, Brandon. There's nothing wrong with that.
Well, there's really no point in me busting my butt anymore now that Dylan's taking control of the situation. What's that old saying, Dad? Money talks?
In case you think I tried to pull the rug out from under you, I didn't. I happen to think it's the worst kind of investment Dylan can make, no matter how much money he has.
Dad, tell me something. You handle other people's money every day. More money, probably, than you'll ever make. Doesn't that ever get to you?
Sometimes.
You ever wonder what it would be like to be rich and powerful?
It's not in the cards for me.
You think it will be for me?
I think that you can do or be anything you want. Which is why I've always pushed you so hard in school. And why I've been making such a big deal about this task force. It's your ticket, Brandon. Power isn't just about money.
I don't know if I believe that anymore, Dad. I mean, take a look at Dylan. No matter how much he screws up, he'll always have millions.
Doesn't mean he knows what to do with it.
Thanks, Dad.
Sure you don't want some lasagna?
No. No.
Stupid!
I gotta go.
What is the hesitation
about? No, I don't! Fuck you, Dad! Fuck you and fuck your lasagna!
I don't get it. That's such a weird way to end the scene.
What about a cannelloni? No!
And go off my diet.
Yeah. I mean, like, are we supposed to think that Jim is poor? I think he probably does fine. People that handle other people's money are usually do okay.
Uh-huh.
Anyway.
Also, this is why I keep pushing the task force. Like, what is this, Hoop Dreams? He's got to, like, go in the NBA draft, the task force draft. It's my ticket out of Beverly Hills. It's a task force. Nobody cares.
He is only going to a state school. Anyway. So Brandon, who's been going to the hospital daily, somehow gets there too late for visiting hours, but just in time to be shitty to Dylan in clip 28.
You want to talk to the nurse? Maybe she'll let you go.
No, that's okay. Why don't you just go buy your own hospital and you can make all the rules you want.
Nobody's trying to rain on your parade, bro. Nat's going to remember what happened.
I was just kidding.
For you?
Yeah, I know that. And I got all this money, man. You know, I don't know what to do. I certainly can't let it just sit there drawing interest. And I can't spend it on Porsches and stuff. And I'm not going to sit around and worry about somebody trying to rip me off all the time.
Lucky for Suzanne.
Like. You got that right.
Anyway, I just did it because Nat's a friend of mine, man. And I wanted to keep something going that we all think's important.
What are you doing, taking lessons from me?
Who, me? You kidding? You hang around with a Boy Scout long enough, you're gonna learn a handshake.
Come on, you hungry?
Yeah, a little bit. I'll buy you a mega burger.
No, thanks. I think I'll buy my own mega burger.
No one's buying anything at that shithole.
No interest here in listening to lasagna? No!
Dad!
How about a lasagna burger?
No! Yeah, I mean, something that we all think is important. Like, important, is that really the right word? Like, somewhere we all like to hang out. Let's be honest.
There are other diners. Also, it's not Sweden. There's probably another diner in Los Angeles.
And I mean, not that we've seen, but yes, you're probably right. Anyway, then Brandon shows up at Lucinda's house, ignoring her when she tries to get rid of him, of course. She lets him in, but is wary in clip 29.
I hope you're not here to lay some trip on me.
Jones.
Lay some trip on me. Okay, Joan Baez. Anyway.
Heavy.
Brandon tells her he's sorry about her divorce and hopes it wasn't because of anything they did. She reminds him that they didn't do anything. He just made her realize that she wasn't happy with her husband. She wishes she hadn't treated him, Corey, so badly out of fear to dump him first, as she says in our final clip.
I put him through a textbook case of how men handle breakups because I didn't have the guts to do it myself.
Ah, and you, a teacher of feminist politics.
Could you keep that a secret? I'm trying to retain a little dignity here.
I'll do my best. So, need a hand moving anything heavy?
Like my dick?
I'd like to move it into your vagina in case you didn't get the reference there. Ugh. Oh, by the way, then he proceeded to cover, I measured, 2/5 of her face with his mouth, preparatory to digesting her entire and spitting her out as a pellet of curly hair and pajama pants.
Yep.
Could someone please intercede? And spoiler, no one ever does.
No.
He almost digests Susan like 15 times. It's so bad. Stop.
God bless Dina Meyer, though. She's really working hard to sell the storyline. I mean, she really convinces you that she is into him, even though he is the chode of chodes. Like, one of the worst people that's ever been.
Chode of chodes.
Anyway, she remembers, she says, that his arms were strong and adds that she could use a friend. Brandon says she's got one for fucking. And that's the end of the episode. Let's move
on. God, we did it.
Almost. Almost. Still need to name our episode MVP. Kelly.
Huh. I'm going to go Jim.
Oh, yeah. Good call.
How could it function without you? Brisk.
Fair. Our least valuable player. I want to say David because he's so smarmy, but I have to say Brandon, who just cannot be happy for people.
Okay, fair. I'm going to go with Donna because she should have a helmet on. All the time.
I think you guys are missing the obvious. Lasagna. Anything that could, give you that reaction has got to be pretty
bad.
Yeah,
it's probably eggplant. And then let's do the Moo Moo Parker challenge.
Yeah, friends don't let friends eat eggplant lasagna.
Thank you.
Yeah.
5 ways from this episode, Brandon could have ended up dead. He could have contracted any number of killer diseases in the hospital, and God, I wish he had.
Could have, choked on one of Lucinda's facial bones while trying to eat her entire face and died.
Could have tried to lift a box of throw pillows and been crushed by it because he's tiny.
Could have pushed his dad too far and his dad force feeds him the lasagna and he chokes on it, trying to explain things to his father as he's being force fed the lasagna.
Yep.
Or while Dylan is lighting money on fire, one of the flaming hundos catches the tail of Brandon's barn jacket and the whole thing goes up in flames and
barn
he's a
jackets.
Man on fire. And then he's dead.
Ah, I miss barn jackets. They're kind of darky looking now, but boy, are they no. roomy in those pockets.
Yeah.
Man, you could fit 3 Bibles in those.
I don't know. Jack McCoy special. Gotta love it.
The New Testament, the Old Testament, and the secret middle one.
Why should I take a back seat? Because I'm a girl?
You shouldn't. It's time for our excerpt from the I Hate Brenda book, Shannon Doherty Exposed. So we're still in the chapter about Shannon Doherty's charitable and political work. And this is the worst one that closes the chapter. Young, innocent, and dying of leukemia, it was a poor girl's last wish to meet the cast of Beverly Hills 90210. Starts bad, gets worse. Make-A-Wish Foundation wanted to help the girl and contacted Fox Television to arrange the details that would enable the girl to realize her dreams. The producers said it was fine with them and Fox, but they needed to inform the stars of the show and obtain permission from them. When all of the major stars of 90210 consented, I don't know if that means... Carteros was like, no way. The foundation flew the girl out to California. After obviously having undergone extensive treatments of chemotherapy, the girl was gaunt and frail. While our recipient of this mega wish was experiencing her dream come true, Shannon walked over to the producer and said, ew, who is that? She's staring at me. Why is she staring at me? What? She's so ugly. The director explained the situation, reminding SD that they had all agreed to do this for the girl. Shannon said, don't care. I can't work with her looking at me like that. I cannot work under these conditions. I cannot work with her here. Shannon, rearing her own ugly head of intolerance, thought the girl was staring at her and refused to get motivated to do her scenes with the girl present. The poor girl was probably overwhelmed by the glamour of being in the midst of her favorite stars, yet Shannon felt as though she was bearing the full weight of the girl's stare. Although the super sensitive starlet was the only one who objected, they had to wheel the poor girl off the set. A week later, she died. The lips of the Make-A-Wish Foundation representatives are apparently sealed about the unfulfilled affair, preferring to bury the whole bitter experience. End of excerpt.
Wow.
Yikes.
Oh, Jesus.
Shit. Okay. It's been a really long time since I did one of these. Let's see how many times I screw up. Hey. Next time on Again With This, the most hideously attired and depressing wedding in the history of Los Angeles is crammed in amongst myriad 20-minute act-out shots of David's mouth dangling open like the porch kid from Deliverance. Speaking of Deliverance, you'll be begging for it from Andrea's shotgun attire and our visual aids, which you can find on our website at previously.tv. You can follow our website on Twitter at previouslytv. My fabulous co-host Tara is on Twitter at Tara Ariano. Our peaceful co-host Dave D. Cole is on Instagram at Glark. And I'm Sarah D. Bunting, and I'm at Tomato Nation on Twitter. Bye.
Hi. You know what to do after the beeperoni.
Yay. What a miracle.
This has been a production of the Previously.tv podcast network.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.